Good evening and welcome to K-Chung Radio's The Talking Show. It is, as ever, Steve Cato, here this Wednesday, the 10th of March. And as is always the case, I am actually here in the studio with Nicholas Miller, because we've both been vaccinated. Isn't that right, Nicholas?
Well, I know that I'm vaccinated, Steve. I wasn't sure you were, but I'm always willing to take the risk for this show and our friendship.
Well, no, we were both vaccinated because we are both key members of the USC rowing team.
Yeah, exactly. That's the strongest claim to any form of privilege in the town that we live in is to have rowed, rowed crew for the University of Southern California. A viciously yep. hard and competitive athletic team to get onto.
Also, an incorruptible institution.
Yeah, solid as a rock. I mean, we all know
absolutely
that
uncorruptible.
Yeah, the LAPD has had a rocky history in terms of corruption, but rowing at the University of Southern California, never.
Never. There has been no problems.
Nope.
That. So now, so since Coach has allowed us to have other activities, I hear the crew season is ramping up. So we had to ask Coach if we could stay up late to record the show.
Yeah, we got a yes. hall pass. And, you know, it makes sense given that how important rowing is to the cultural fabric of this town. And also how dangerously close we get to other Ivy League students when we are competing in the great sport of rowing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, within the boat, it is incredibly hard to socially distance.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But we've been potting the whole time, the row team. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And many people, I'm sure, didn't know this about us, but that's exactly why we have such well-formed shoulders and chests.
Yeah. Yeah.
People have often, studio guests come into the studio and are often just amazed at just how well-formed our pectoral muscles are.
Yeah. Not something usually associated with radio hosts.
No, not at all. I hear Ira Glass is basically like a his chest is like a cave. For example,
you actually see his back from the front.
Yeah. It's horrifying. It's like that thing pelicans can do where they can barf out their spines through their mouths. Do you know about that, Nicholas?
No,
they can do this thing. They can open their mouths so wide that it exceeds the capacity of their body to hide their spine.
I mean, that sounds like it could lead to some real kinky adventures.
And the pelicans are fine. This is a thing pelicans can just do.
Yeah.
You know, you can yawn real big and your spine becomes visible through your mouth.
So you show up and you're like, Teddy over there, he's the most spineless pelican I've ever seen. And then he proves you wrong real easy.
Yeah, he's like, check
this
out.
Oh, yeah,
out,
watch
asshole.
This. Poink.
Yeah. So that's what Ira Glass's chest is like. you might wonder, you might say, like, Steve, he's on the Chicago NPR station. You're in Los Angeles. You've both been doing the most beloved radio show in your respective towns, but your towns are really far away. How would you have had the chance to learn this fact? And I can say why. It's because Ira and I both have degrees in semiotics and we go to the conferences.
Well, and
that's why.
Don't we row by there on Tuesday mornings at practice?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. We do row all the way up to what is it, Lake Michigan? What lake is Chicago on?
You know, when I put those ear pods in and get rowing, I can't even tell.
You just get in the swing. It's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
God, I love rowing.
Right. Yeah. And ever since William H. Macy bought us those new handy jerseys, we've just been so much more aerodynamic.
I fucking love rowing.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this year's crew season to start. I am just so stoked to represent USC.
The Trojans.
What's good about rowing? Yeah, the Trojans who rowed, famous for their rowing in their triremes, from Troy, away from Troy as it burned. I love to row the boat. I forgot where that joke. I had a great follow up from that, but I got distracted by knowing one thing about actual Greek ships. Right, there were they up to the triremes in the Peloponnesian War, or were those only developed after the mythical phase of like Greek history?
I have no idea. I stick to contemporary rowing technologies.
Sorry, triremes are in the Peloponnesian War, and in the Trojan Wars, were triremes in existence? I do not actually know, but anyway. God, I just love I love getting in the boat, rowing to Chicago, confronting Ira Glass, having him barf his spine at me like a pelican. Little known fact, he's actually one of the most successful pelicans in broadcasting, providing crucial representation to the pelican community.
Well, we should also say, you know, we could hear, as we admitted, that we row crew and therefore were eligible for an early COVID-19 vaccine. Mm. We could hear the collective sigh cast across, you know, all of Chinatown, or at least 300 yards of it. But pull that sigh back in. Don't worry. The Talking Show will continue to monitor the situation. We are not
good
going
point,
to
Nicholas.
Slack
good
on
point.
Our duties. And
good point.
To that point, we should tell you that when we went to the Cal State LA super site and were vaccinated, that the soldier who vaccinated us there let us in on a little tip, didn't he, Steve?
Yeah. Oh, share this with the people.
So, you know, there's lots of theories floating around about this vaccine, perhaps dubious in nature, perhaps helpful.
Bill Gates does this. Bill Gates does that.
Well, only time will tell. He allayed all of our fears by, after he jabbed us with the needle and was applying the Band-Aid, leaned over and said, "The microchip is in the Band-Aid."
Love it.
So
love that for us.
That doesn't mean take off the Band-Aid immediately, because it does serve a function. But perhaps when you go get your vaccine, when you are eligible and not a moment before, bring your own Band-Aid and swap it out real fast. Microwave the old one.
Yeah, you want to put it in a microwave because the microwave has a Faraday cage inside it.
Yeah, it also
prevents
the
shit
out of that microchip.
Yeah,
yeah, toss your passport in there if you haven't already, because we all know those things are microchipped too.
Yeah, all microchips actually evil. Use only point-to-point wired transistors are the only things you can trust.
Yeah.
Your phone must be the size of a fridge.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Nicholas. And this is why I still run the very first version of Emacs that was running on a computer that was point-to-point wired in the 70s.
Yeah.
I at the super site, I actually, there's an experimental technique for vaccination where they load it into a rifle and just get you from a distance.
Ah, okay.
The dart gun style. So I got that. It's like they count and they let you run.
Is it like that scene in The Professional where Bruce Willis is testing the weapon on Jack Black?
Yeah. So you're supposed to go. They have a timer and they say, like, they give you 30 seconds and you run away from the soldier, and the soldier picks you off.
Okay.
And it's good for the soldiers, keeps them in fighting shape, keeps them from getting soft, you know, because we spend so much money in the military, it would be a shame if people just relaxed. So it keeps the soldiers up to shape, in ship shape, and then, you know, it helps you to get vaccinated. And I understand that in some parts of LA, you can also, you know, because it comes with the vaccine. Normally, this would be considered very COVID unsafe, but there's like a blowgun program operating as well.
Yeah.
Which is a little more Bubba woo-woo than firearm tranquilizer dispensation. But, you know, if your shaman approves, you can totally get the blowgun vaccination.
Yeah.
And that's, that is, I have, it's actually one of the ways I've always wanted to be killed.
With a blowgun.
By blow dart. Yeah. Like if I have to go and it has to be sort of hand of another person,
yeah.
It has to be murder. I want it to be an inaudible poison dart.
That kills you instantly? Or that you like kind of writhe with pain for a few weeks?
Weeks, no. Minutes, yes.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah.
I'll pass those notes along to coach. Yeah, to coach.
let HR at K-Chug know that that's how I would prefer to be murdered.
Yeah.
Put that in my file. If they have to look it up when they're trying to let me go but don't want to get out of the contract, you know, don't want to give me any severance or whatever, they should find that line there.
Geez, I must have made a mistake. When I got hired here, I checked NA for the murder question.
Yeah, well, they'll just do it however they want.
Oh, really? I thought that meant don't murder me.
No. That's not how HR works. the normal way that they do it is actually just the guy with the gloves.
Okay.
Just goes around and strangles. Yeah, the strangler. That's the normal way that HR deals with people getting fired.
I see.
Yeah. So, and this reminds me, you know, since we've been on air for so long, there's been a lot of shows that have been on with us that are no longer with us. And let's just have a little minute and think about all those people that HR has put down over the years while we've been on the air for the last decade.
Yeah. Rest in
all
peace,
right.
Too True.
Yeah, rest in peace, Guru Rugu's meditation hour. Although I heard his death was faked, and he's now working for MKUltra, the new MKUltra, MKUltra 2.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so there you go. But anyway, if this introduction hasn't prepared you enough for our guest, I don't know how better we possibly could. Today we have a legendary provider of sort of talking. I'm not convinced we haven't had him on before, but I have such respect for the work that I feel like it's necessary to include it. Famous for appearing on television's The IT Crowd and directing the critically maligned, I would say, film Four Lions. Many people found it to be not funny. Despite the fact that it was about terrorism, not so long after multiple terrorist attacks in London. Which seems to be Mr. Morris's MO in general. I just let it slip. Our guest is Chris Morris. And so with all that in mind, let's just let it rip and let Chris do his thing.
When you moaned so soft and blapped in cupboard, but other knuckles knocky try to get in. All right, hello, while you lie still, biting hoover bag sweet dust in e-gob. And better than the outside, really. Possibly. No. Then blink emerge at last. All people gone, when now you needy, so needy like a mimi-mim. And when e be retched out so long, e dry to fossilized munch, bending like a mad, angry with the ground. Absurd man, shoot him. Then e welcome. Ooh, ab welcome. In blue jam, blue jam. Blue jam, blue jam, blue jam.
Come in. Right then, have a seat. Now, what can I do for you?
Well,
yes. Take your time. Okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Is it what you came about last time?
Oh, no, no. It's...
Would it help you if you wrote it down?
I feel like a dog on a motorway.
I think you're in danger of getting run down.
Yeah.
Best take it easy. Pop back if things don't improve.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Thanks.
Bye-bye then.
My name is Michael Palmer. I'm 42 years old, and I'm an optician. I've always felt that I am a baby trapped in the body of a man. And about 6 months ago, I had a transplant operation to give me the penis and testicles of a baby. I'll probably show you this one. That there, that's just the very tiny little white penis. And underneath, see there, the small pink sac with the as yet undescended testes. I'm very happy with it.
Previn. I'm an architect. I've always felt that I look like I've got the body of a woman, but inside there's the body of a woman with the genitals of a duck.
Diane Simon Mayo thrashing round the funfair and pissing on the fleeting women's heads.
My eyes are watering. There's a lot of dust in the air. I can't see too well anyway because I pawned my corneas 2 days ago to buy a pair of shoes. The replacements are cheap and ill-fitting, and the anaesthetic wears off quickly, so 15 minutes later, I'd spent all the money in a chemist's on a week's supply of codeine. I ate it outside. I had to lie down on the pavement while the painkillers got round to my eyes. I hung my head over the curb to make them arrive faster. Before she ran away, my wife said this would happen. She even got the date right. I tried to remember the expression on her face when she said it. I had got as far as a large roaring mouth when a pair of shoes appeared next to my head. I thought they looked familiar. They were familiar because I'd lost them in a bet to the art dealer Japhet Corncrake. "That's rather good," he said. "Is this a new performance piece or just a work in progress?" "I sold my eyes," I said. "I can't see." He clapped his hands and jumped up and down, thoroughly impressed. "That's very good. I like it. We must talk about this. Are you very busy this evening? Because I've got a new show on at the gallery, if you'd like to come along." I couldn't say no. I couldn't say anything, because I didn't want to, and words don't form in my mouth when that happens. So he hailed a taxi and pushed me into it. As we drove through London, he talked fluidly about art. Coincidentally, I felt very sick. When I asked him whether perhaps he could return my shoes, he said, "You really will make an excellent installation. Who writes your scripts?" Corncrake's private gallery was full of people. It was also full of water, because it was really a swimming pool with pictures hung round the walls. The guests were swimming round and round and chattering. Corncrake introduced me to a hugely fitted woman called Hymenoptera, who helped me into the pool and gave me a drink. A man called Howard Znack touched me on the nipple and asked me what I thought about the Sarajevo school. I was about to say, "Please help me," when Helen Collop swam up, popped a cherry in my mouth, kissed my forehead, and asked me how my mother was, and then swam away again without waiting for an answer. Hymenoptera surfaced with a tray of crudités and shot me a greasy wink. It was at this point that the level of codeine in my blood became critical, and the contents of my stomach flew out of my mouth in a surprising yellow jet, which, as my head sank below the surface, acted much like a turbine, propelling me 10 feet backwards through the pool. The last thing I heard was Hymenoptera asking timidly, "Was that supposed to happen?" I'd like to hear some music now, preferably the Bucharest Symphony Orchestra and Chorus performing Ligeti's Requiem, which should be played on a cassette machine with flat batteries. Start the tape now, please. Thanks. Ligeti's incorporation of polyrhythms contrives to produce one of the most difficult and crystalline pieces of music ever written. No piece of music ever summed up death better. No human being ever experienced anything so close to death while still being alive. Edward Heath attended the British premiere and asked the conductor whether he had the right music in front of him. That was before inflation and the 3-day week and candles.
Is up on top, is what you've been taught.
How do I say your name again?
Martin.
Right, Martin. I think the headaches have a lot to do with your posture at the computer. Can I just look at your tongue? Yes. Do you get cold fingertips?
Yes, yeah, sometimes.
I'll just take your pulse. Your spleen is down. Have you had acupuncture before?
No.
It's important for patients to relax fully before I start treatment. Otherwise, it can be a bit distressing. Now, just put your wrist down by your side. You may feel a little tingle when I put this one in. The nails I use are between 9 and 14 inches long and half an inch thick. Okay, and now 2 in your stomach. They must go through the body part and at least 2 inches into the table. Otherwise, the patient will slide off when I prop them against the wall.
Have you ever had it all?
I don't want to.
Okay. Now, what I'm going to do, Martin, is prop you up on your board. You might feel a little uncomfortable because you're taking the weight of your body on those nails through your arms.
Yep.
So you might want to try and just push down a bit.
Yep.
Often I'll leave several patients together along the walls. Half an hour. They're usually concentrating too much on themselves to notice anything else. Now, Martin, I'm just going to give your stomach nails a little tweak. Can you feel that? This one? Good. Sorry? Oh, Sarah's fainted. All right. Yeah, that's quite normal. All right,
Sarah.
I think the treatment is very successful.
Deep breaths, everyone.
I've never had a patient come back. We have difficulty getting some of them to leave under their own steam. Just have to leave them out the back. They've normally gone in the morning. Yeah.
还得把口弄死人开门才去才随便才有人去读个
It was in 1987 that I had this dream But it's only now that I realize what it meant. The lyricist Bernie Taupin was on the phone in Los Angeles. At the end of the call, he put the phone down and wrote for an hour, laughing hysterically. I have listened to the new recording of Candle in the Wind and have discovered that if you play it backwards, you can hear a profane message. It says, Jesus and your bush. That's no titchy marrow. This is a bawdy thought about the English Rose and who she is with now. This is why Bernie Taupin was laughing in my dream.
Yeah? Did he? Hmm. 43? Counting the cat. A bit of reflection on the auto cue on camera 2. Nah, it didn't bother me. Oh, Sarah. What have you got for me today?
Right, that's for the peace talks, VT. That's 97 seconds, so you should get the pizza in, no problem. Those Jerusalem artichokes are for you if you've got a few seconds at the end.
Are they tinned?
Yeah.
Well, I've said before, tinned are no good, haven't I?
Yes.
Typical. Then I can get fresh truffles and I get a bloody tinned artichoke. Well, I'll just have to spin the pizza out a bit.
Okay. Then Angola, that's 72 seconds, so there's a sandwich and a couple of grapes.
What sort of sandwich?
Hen.
Good.
We've got the Clinton, that's 2.5 minutes from Washington, so you can take a bit of time over the scallops and you could probably fit in 2 miniature pints of beer.
Oh, good, I like those. Yeah, put them there. They're great, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Anything for the sports results?
Some Rams cheese.
Ah, yes, good.
And at 6:28, I'll make sure all the doors between here and the canteen are open, so you should get a clear run.
Lovely, thanks. Okay. Sarah, what happened to the berries?
Well, they're with the full-length Angola VT, so they've gone to the 9.
Gone to the 9?
Yeah.
Well, Sissons doesn't need them. I need the berries. Why is he going to get the berries?
Well, they go with that story.
I know. I ordered them for that story because it was going to be in the 6. And I need... Yeah? Well, I know it's been changed, but how do you expect me to do my job when my nutrition's all abused? Well, I won't get the C vitamins or the fructose from that, will I? Sarah, just give me the fucking berries, will you? But if I can't have the berries, then I'm not doing it. Yeah? All right. Well, then I'll just have to do the short Angola story twice, and then I'll get 2 lots of grapes. Well, it's either that or nothing. And I'll have to lead with the football results. I'll need that Rams cheese at the top to try and deal with a vitamin risk. No, lead with the sports results. Well, then I won't do it.
But what about this orange?
I can't have a bloody orange.
It's got vitamin C, it's got fructose.
I've got to have the berries. Well, then I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it, all right? You know I've got to have my berries, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah? So they'll swap back. Well, why didn't you do that straight away? You could have saved a lot of unpleasantness, couldn't you? Yeah, sure, I'll move it. No, you're right, you can't have my bucket in shop, no. There, is that better? No, it's empty. There, okay. Oh, Sarah.
Yeah.
Could you get me some gum? The stomach acids are really beginning to get to my teeth.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, love. Jesus.
Thank you. piss on my hinge.
Fat up my ass. Fat up my fucking ass.
Oh, yeah. Fuss my fucking Polly.
Oh. I'll swallow my face. Go and swallow my face.
Oh. Roar up my twat. Oh. Rudder. Your balls are so fat. Oh.
Shove your tits up my ass.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah.
Fart them out. Oh, God.
Any minute now, the blowflies will hatch. They've been breeding in a scrap of kidney next to my left foot. I cannot run or move from side to side in here, and must remain standing with my face pressed to the thick glass. Still, I am lucky. When Susie found me, I'd been stranded on a traffic island for 4 hours. And when she suggested that she take me home and have me walled up as an art installation, I agreed straight away. So here I am, in an alcove in her living room, being exhibited behind glass next to a plaque bearing the name Berents Oslo. 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 Berents Oslo is the artist that did me. There is a copper tube to help me breathe, and I am naked except for a string vest. Some of my lower parts have been painted yellow. Yellow. I think the cleaning lady pushed the kidney in through the tube, but it missed my mouth and fell to my feet. Susie is having a sort of dinner to open me officially. It seems to be a great success. Her face is all blotchy with anticipation as she waits for guests to react to me. I am a great hit when one of them taps on the glass and says, "Susie, you're a genius. This is what art should be like, moving in a relevant way." I have instructions to reply to these comments by saying, "I am very sorry, this art is crap." Of course, the guest is flabbergasted, because they have no idea I can hear them. Only very recent Berents Oslos come fitted with a ticket office intercom. They start raving about the magnificence of a piece of art that is capable of criticizing itself. That's remarkable, they say. That piece of art is capable of criticizing itself. As I continue to slag myself off, there is a buzz of expectation as Will Self arrives with his special pillow and a miniature chicken. He spots me and immediately delivers himself of the opinion that he has never seen a more kleptomasturbatory anthropoid. He kneels and says that now he has glimpsed all our hypocrisies in a neuroplastic ellipse. There follows a period of silent eating, with occasional sobs and the passing and gradual filling of a tear thimble. I've been here for a couple of hours now. Susie summons the guests into an adjoining room. She is an excellent hostess. One girl stays behind because she is trying to chase the dragon and it keeps getting away. In the adjoining room, there is a hatch which allows access to my back parts. Susie opens it up, and the guests take it in turn to put their hands through. I gather from their language that they are attempting to read my arse. There's a kind of binary braille encoded in the relative temperatures of my buttocks. Extra verbs are in the roughness, and adjectives in the formation of folds around my daisy. Presently I can hear squabbling. Apparently my arse has declared that one of them is the slave master, but has not revealed which one it is. I am beginning to feel ill. There is no one to notice me except the girl with the foil. She sees that I'm in distress and walks slowly up to me with a very unintelligent look on her face. She empties a lungful of dragon into my tube. My next action is caused by the combination of poppy smoke and the new development taking place next door, which some of the guests are calling feed the arse. A high-pressure jet of old stomach emerges from my tube just as Will Self is passing on his way home. We are all Huxley's Badkins, he says, and vaults through a closed window. The truth is that events continued in pretty much the same way for a week. I think the girl who had shown herself clumsy with the horse may have died. The blowflies certainly did hatch and block my view completely, so that my abiding memory is of sounds heard through buzzing. Mainly, the rhythmical slamming of bare skin on alabaster as Susie succumbed with grunts to the meaty pleasure of each new slave master. I was eventually extracted by six men in contamination suits. They were extremely distressed. This happened 2 days after Susie went on holiday.
Mackenzie Steve Lamack as a frail old man in a wheelchair trying to shake hands with an elephant.
Right then, have a seat. Now, what can I do for you?
Well,
is it what you came about last time?
No. I feel... like... a pair... of curtains.
Yeah. Okay. I think the best thing you can do is yourself together. See how that goes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Thanks.
Bye then. Thank you.
monged so soft and blapped in cupboard, but other knuckles knocky try to get in. All right, hello, while you lie still, biting Hoover bag sweet dust in e-gob. And better than the outside, really. Possibly. No. Then Blink emerge at last. And all people gone, when now you needy, so needy like a mimi-mim. And when e be retched out so long, e dry to fossilized munch, bending like a mad, angry with the ground. Absurd man, shoot him. Then e welcome. Ooh, ab welcome. In blue jam, blue jam, blue jam.
I have a feeling from watching your face in the studio that you're going to say there's something you're going to say that I can almost predict.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you say the thing? I saw your face. Yeah. Why don't you say the thing?
I'd say, you know, we've been friends for a long time, Steve. We built trust over that long durée.
Yeah.
And so I trust you, but I have to say to your face that some of that sounded a little like music.
I can't believe that, as you say, after establishing all this trust, that you would be taken in by something like that. So you know that we on the talking show hold the work of Robert Ashley, the anniversary of whose death was actually last week on the talking show, observed silently. We hold Robert Ashley's work to be foundational to this project. Do we not, Nicholas?
We do. We do.
Yeah. And the program there is to create talking so beautiful that it becomes music, basically. That his claim to be a composer, as opposed to a monologuist, for example, is based on the idea that, like, the definition of music can be expanded to include the sort of non or amusical material.
Mm-hmm.
I found something out this week, which is, I was talking to my friend Zach Rose, who's a computer programmer, and he was talking about doing a form of encryption that would basically sort of algorithmically generate music that would have messages embedded in it that then could be decoded by someone who had the same sort of key to that music.
Oh.
That had been algorithmically generated. And music in quotes, because it's not really music if it's actually sort of an iMessage or something like that at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Right. And I think it's called steganography. Is that it? When they take a picture, for example, and the picture is embedding other information inside it.
Oh.
Through encryption.
I don't know.
And so he was looking at musical steganography and whether it would be possible to disperse it through shortwave radio, for example. You know, so if you could send messages to people through shortwave that would appear as if it was musical, but then those who were had the technical means to decrypt it could interpret the secret message. I don't know if I should give all this away on the public airwaves, but
someone should pass this information over to Britney Spears.
But here's the thing, is that it's illegal to play music over the shortwave.
Okay.
radio bands. And this makes sense in a way, I guess, because there's copyright laws, and that's why you're allowed to broadcast in the shortwave bands in the first place, right? So that you're not, you know, helping people to party, you're only chit-chatting.
Yeah.
And my answer was that you could definitely send music over the shortwave bands, just so long as the majority of people don't recognize it as music.
Oh.
Which brings us back to the work of Robert Ashley, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which would sound fine on shortwave for the most part, I would imagine. And so, since we are not on the shortwave band and music is horribly legal where we are.
It's a tragedy.
What I and Chris believe we are accomplishing here by including this sound, which is like music. Sure. I give you this. It is has musical character. Like as Xi Jinping says that, what is it that, China is practicing capitalism with Chinese characteristics.
Okay.
That's his dodge around sort of it no longer really being a communist country anymore,
mm-hmm.
economically speaking, with Chinese characteristics. The sounds you heard do have musical characteristics, perhaps, but in fact, that's actually sort of on the reverse side of Bob Ashley's work as a steganographic move towards cryptography. It is, in fact, an extremely advanced form of talking.
Wow. That, yeah. Under one's breath, you could say.
Yeah. Sub Rosa. So anyway, I thought this was going to come up, and I figured we should just get that out of the way earlier. Have you experienced any of Chris's other ventures out there?
No, but I was, you know, other than the brief offensive material, I was I was kind of glued to my seat.
Yeah,
that's some dramatic talking, which is one of my favorite flavors.
Yeah, and what's amazing to me is that for a brief period, this work enjoyed very broad institutional support from the BBC.
I know. What happened?
Yeah. This was very, in the 90s, this was something that people could stumble upon accidentally, which is absolutely mind-bending to me. But
yeah, now you couldn't even find it on Instagram. It'd be too racy for...
yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
And I mean also just the sheer deadpan tone as well. You never know sort of in what sense this is being... The talking is being advanced with Chris Morris.
No, I felt whipped about through these different scenes.
Yeah. Did you know there's a television version?
With images or just secret codes?
Both. There's actors, but then because it's television, he plays different parts of the scenes back at different speeds. So there's delayed images of people doing things in slow motion over top of themselves doing it in regular motion. I think just to be kind of like drugs. You know, like, dude, like drugs.
Hats off. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it is really, it is a really incredible bit of television. I really, those of you who are not confined to audio media, as I know many of you are, but those of you who soil yourselves with the visual arts, should try and put that in your eye holes and see how that goes over. Anyway, we might have Chris Morris back on. Who knows? There's a wealth of material. He's done so much work over the years.
Yeah, we should set him up with the blender guy. See what they can't cook up in this this new world of CGI, Zoom meetings, talking.
Blender Guy Part 2.
Yeah. Ton and Ton. Chris.
Oh my God, they would be such a good duo. Actually, that's a very, very strange chemistry could be generated there.
I think so. Yeah, once that big NEA grant comes through for the talking show, we're gonna start pairing some of these people up.
There we are. Yes.
Yeah.
When our ship comes in.
Yep.
Or if crew goes all the way this year and we go all the way to the finals where we row against who was the best last year? Mallorca? Who had the best team?
I thought it was South Korea.
South Korea. It was South Korea.
Very disciplined team.
Very good. I mean, Coach Kim is legendary for getting results. Yeah. So, it's not going to be easy. And I know that me and Nicholas are both going to have to, along with our teammates, give 110% if we hope to sort of match the high bar set by South Korea. But
we could suggest that we push practice on Tuesday morning a little past Chicago. See if we can't get to D.C., put in a good word.
Yeah, yeah. See if we get all the way to D.C., we can definitely try and woo the NEA.
Or, I have an easier idea. What if we took our boat over to the Venice Canals and see if we can't, get the ear of...
the Doge?
Hunter Biden. I mean, I'm sure he'll have sympathies with the talking show being a fellow artist.
You meant this Venice, not that Venice.
No. Yeah. The Venice, California, where our first son lives.
Yeah. Have you seen him around?
No, I haven't. I haven't tried though.
I'm curious. I wonder what his favorite order at Moon Juice is.
Do they have one over there?
Oh yeah, dude.
Oh yeah.
Come on. If you were, what's her name? Amanda Chantel Bacon, would you turn an earning potential like the Abbott Kinney crowd away from the doors of Moon Juice?
No, I wouldn't. I'm just always surprised when an East Side institution pops up on the West Side, even though that's been a trend for many years now.
I think it's actually the opposite.
They started in Venice?
I think they might have. Yeah. Okay,
that would make even more sense.
Yeah, as Silver Lake became dry Venice.
yeah, hilly Venice.
Yeah, bumpy Venice. indeed. Then so too did the moon juices, etc. Migrate eastward with them as well.
Right. Well, when Hunter finally wisens up and realizes that all his peers are over here, maybe it'll be even easier to get a hold of him.
Hunter, if you're out there, get in touch. We would love to have you on the show.
Yeah. And good morning, Chinatown.